This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, it's RÚV English Radio. My name is Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. I'm surrounded by some wonderful works of art, works of photographic art at the Reykjavik Museum of Photography. And I'm with my guest today, who is Johanna Guðrún Árnadóttir. And today is a special day because an exhibition is opening around us later on today, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is the opening of the Icelandic Photo Festival 2025. And so it's a big opportunity for us to have this first exhibition.
Well, we're going to talk about the museum and the work that it does and what it shows, but just a word on that festival then, a festival of photography starting today.
Yeah, it is. And as I said, we have this opening exhibition here, but in a week time, next Friday, we will host portfolio review, which is something that we've been doing at this festival since 2012, actually, every 2 years, but in COVID it was 3 years, which is understandable.
So, without giving too much away, just a quick word on the photographs that are around us here, because I'm one of the first people to see these.
Yeah, I think you are. it's an exhibition by a group of photographers from FÍSL, which is the Icelandic Contemporary Photography Association. Mm-hmm. And there are 16 members that have their works exhibited here. They are, of course, of various sort, but it's from one special theme is the common thread. Different takes on landscapes, like the impact of man on landscape, which is a very big theme around, of course, the whole world, but also here in Iceland.
I'm really struck by one photograph. It's directly in front of us here, which is of a sheet of ice on which there are maybe seven small human beings walking around what looks like the outline of a polar bear's head in blood, a giant art display of some kind.
Yeah, this was a special happening that this artist did several years ago. And of course, this is a kind of an activist approach to open the eyes of people of what kind of influence man has on landscape. So yeah, this is a very clear example of her take, this artist. And as I said, there are different, they all have their different tone, of course, but this is the common thread, the footprints that man has in the environment.
So this is the exhibition that kicks off the festival, which opens today in Reykjavik. Let's talk a little bit more about the museum itself. How long has it been here? How long has it been celebrating photography in Iceland?
Well, at this specific venue here in Tryggvagata, has been here since 2000, along with the library, city library and city archives. And before that, it was founded in 1981, as a private company, and then it was in 1987 that Reykjavik took it over and has since been, of course, a non-profit organization. Anyhow, you can still buy there's a huge collection that we have. It's 7 million photos.
7 million?
Yes, 7 million. It's the newest figure that I was... Gotting from my colleagues that are working in that department. Yeah. And we have this photo web on our website. There you can go, it's very accessible. Mm-hmm. You can go and choose, buy it digital prints, either here or have it sent as a digital image. Mm-hmm. So maybe not many people know about that.
No.
They're good for gifts and stuff.
We touched on this a little bit just before Christmas, talking about the Oslo tree with one of your colleagues at the City Museum, in fact.
Yes.
And she was very keen to show me some of the photographs of old Reykjavik at Christmas time with the tree being installed. And I think it is through photography that you can really see just how much Iceland generally, but also the capital, has changed over the last sort of 20 or 30 years.
Yeah. You could say that the oldest photograph you can say is from around 1840. We really have very old photographs, not many of them. Most of the photos in the collection are from 1960 to 1980. Yes. That's the bulk of our collection.
When Iceland was really changing, then after the 80s.
Yeah, there was a big change around 1960.
Yes.
Yes.
And you can see that. I think that's when Breitholt was built and various other parts of the modern city.
Yeah.
Let's move out of this exhibition space into the wider gallery and just get a sense of, we're not going to have time to look at all 7 million photographs today, I don't think. Beyond this then, if someone comes into the gallery or into the museum, I should say, they can also learn about the history of photography itself as well as the photographs, can't they?
Yeah, you can. We have like screens in the lobby area.
Let's take a look at
the entrance.
Yeah.
And there you can scroll through the screens and see old Reykjavik. That's because we don't have a permanent exhibition from collection, so because we don't have that much space, it would of course be really optimal if we had one, but it's not like that.
Well, let's go to one of the screens and take a look at some of the images and get a sense of the history of photography, the history of photographs in Iceland, and maybe we can find a couple that talk about those changes that we've described over the years. So there are three screens here. People can sit down as you're doing and touch to begin, and then they've got a choice of photographers to start with.
Yes, we have here Magnus Olafsson is like, what do you say, the photographer of Reykjavik, he's called, and he's like, we can almost say he's like our main photographer that we're very proud of. Because we published a book on him 20 years ago, and you can really show old Reykjavik. From his photos are from the beginning of the 20th century.
And he lived from 1862 to 1937, so he would have been working at his peak around the turn of the century.
Yeah, yeah. So you can really see a very, very much so, how Reykjavik has changed.
Yeah.
And also you see the harbour area.
Which is unrecognisable almost, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tjörnin, you know, Ráðhúsið, the city hall is now here, but this is almost, here's the parliament.
Yeah, yeah. So that's Tjörnin in front of...
Yeah, it's Tjörnin, yeah.
I can't even see the ducks.
Domkirkja. Yeah, so, yeah, actually this photo is a very clear... to show that.
I suppose a reference there in one of those images to modern Reykjavik in the sense that you had the Harper brass band long before the building Harper was built.
Well, actually, I've been working that long here at the museum. I can remember when Harper was built here, and it's enormous changes that have been exactly in this area here.
Here's Oysterstræti from 1926. There's a car, so cars were on the street by this point, but again, you would struggle to identify that, wouldn't you, compared with today?
Yeah. It was very rare, of course, in those days.
Yes.
And, you can see the Stjórnarráð here. It hasn't changed. If you can see one house here.
Yes.
Bankastræti. And this is a very, very
And again, there's the Tjörnin with none of what we recognise, really, around it.
Yeah.
No city hall. Even though it's not there either, is it?
It isn't.
Yeah.
There is one photo I would like to show you that we have from around here. This house, this picture is from 1945, when Esja, the ship, came to Reykjavik. Mm-hmm. With 300 Icelandic passengers from Copenhagen after the, you know, that were stuck in Scandinavia after the World War.
The crowd here is people coming out to welcome them back?
Yeah, and they're also on the house, they're on Hafnarhús.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Yes.
So it's, you know, the house is a bit changed, Gróðarhús, but Hafnarhús is as it was.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great photo.
It's fantastic, yeah, and you can sort of see the joy as well.
Yeah,
you can't see people's faces, but you can sense that something really important and wonderful is about to happen.
And it's in a big contrast to how few Icelanders are, and like such crowds in the streets in those days were not common.
And the other image that maybe it's available to see, but I'm aware of an image from the time of the women's strike in the 1970s, when you had again as many people as that crowding together, like a measurable percentage of the whole population was on the streets.
Yeah, exactly. 1975.
75. Yeah.
So then you had color photography. Of course, compared to now, it was very rare to make photographs. At the time when Magnus was working in the first half of the 20th century, while he was taking the photo itself, you had to be totally still.
Yes.
And you couldn't close your eyes because otherwise everything would be blurry. And that was because of the technique wasn't advanced enough. Yes. It took such a long time to shutter.
Would he have used perhaps one of the giant cameras that's behind us just now, which is, it's as high as we are sitting on a chair.
Yeah.
These are big machines, these are not portable. Again, you've got the sort of concertina effect in the middle there to darken as the image is taken. Is this the kind of machine that would have been used in the early days?
Yeah, in the early days, yeah. And it's a, if you see it, like a dark room. This is really a dark room.
Yeah. The camera with a dark room built in.
It is.
And this is the kind of camera that people would have to stay very still in front of.
And I can tell you that some of the contemporary photographers that are like in Feast, in the exhibition that we were just looking at, some of them really like these old techniques, are using the old cameras to have these effects that are now, you can't achieve with the digital.
You can now buy again film cameras and you can get film for a camera in Elko. I was in there the other day. Yeah. And I wonder if that's the same thing that's happening with vinyl records. There's a younger generation who appreciates something physical.
I think with the younger generation finds it quite exciting, really.
Yes.
So it's really nice for us middle-aged people to when we grew up with it.
The 7 million photographs that you have, are these donated?
Well, it's mainly like press photographers, like when they are during the end of their career, they like their families or like want to give it to a museum to, you know, so it won't just go to Sorpa or get lost or something. So it's a lot through that people, you know, of course it's for the professional photographers, like, and sometimes of course we get you know, through various departments of Reykjavik City, maybe photographs that have been taken at some, let's say, at some youth work or something going on, then we get that.
Yes.
So it's a lot to sort out.
Yes.
You can't preserve everything because it's expensive to preserve things. You need housing and heating.
And I guess as well, with everybody being a photographer now, we've all got quite high quality digital cameras in our pockets all the time.
Yeah.
You could be overwhelmed.
Yes, I think quite frankly it is like that.
Yes.
So
yes.
I think the job of curating the photographs is increasingly important. Yeah.
So all these images can be seen on the website. We'll place a link to that on the page accompanying this show. You can come here, of course, to use the screens as well. There is the exhibition which is going on at the moment. Well, it starts later on today.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have a variety of exhibitions in that space.
Yeah, we have here a small exhibition space called Skotið here at the entrance, where we have maybe like someone who's starting out, or maybe not always like that, but it's a good way to show more variety than only one exhibition. And on the website, there are not the 7 million there. There are maybe only some 100,000.
The 7 million is how many you hold.
Well, then you have all negatives and,
that
not everything has, you know, you have to go through everything and it's a constant work.
It's
years and years ahead that you know that there is a lot of work to be done.
Yeah. So it's not 7 million on the website, but a lot.
So I won't be telling any stupid things here.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you could spend all day. You could spend many days going through the ones that are on the website.
I think there are enough photos to have something to look at.
I think so. And with a country like Iceland, which of course is is ancient, but also quite young in terms of its modernity. As we said earlier on, you can see just how rapidly, how quickly it's grown up in the last few decades with the help of photography, I think.
Yeah, you can say it's really, if it weren't for photography, I don't know how we could have known this.
Or you just suddenly wake up one day and be very surprised at how much things have changed.
Yeah. Because although Iceland is a country of saga and, you know, but then the eye and the visual things are things that we need to have as well to complement it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the history of the art form is given great respect here, I think, and indeed the products of that art form, the photographs as well. Best of luck with the opening later on today.
Thank you very much.
And that's on until March, I think, isn't it?
Yes, exhibition? Yes. Then we have there we have an annual press photography exhibition. After that, we will have an exhibition from our collection, from one of our press photographers, who's still living, actually, and that he's retired. And it will be very exciting to have that. That will last until December. It will be last for half a year or so.
Sure. So big plans for the rest of the year.
Yeah, big plans for this year.
Well, Ioana, thank you very much indeed. Great to talk to you today.
Thank you very much
also. As I say, a link to all of this on our page here at RUV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam, and you can get in touch with us anytime. We are english@ruv.is.
There is more from RUV English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RUV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RUV.